Well, welcome once again to Voice of Reason Radio. We are so grateful to have you again with us this week. Rich, did you realize that this is show number 11 that we are doing this week?
Wow, brother. In some ways, it seems like it's our first one was just yesterday, and in other ways, it seems like we ought to be on episode 20 or 30. I don't know. I think the memory of Cross Encounters Radio is kind of flooding back, and it's all kind of merging together in my head, and which at times I have a very bad concept of time anyway. So,
well, especially this week, because you've been a little under the weather. And if you don't know it, folks, this is actually September 5th. It's a Monday. It's Labor Day 2016. We are recording a few days behind because the Lord God graciously allowed our brother Rich to come under the weather and give his body some needed rest. So we're doing this a few days behind, but we're grateful to be able to do it. And I'm grateful you're feeling better, brother.
Well, thank you, brother. And I appreciate the prayer request, and I appreciate the prayers of everyone out there that's prayed for me the last few days, because like you said, I've been a bit under the weather and not quite myself, although I did feel well enough the other night to join in on a few jabs towards you over of all things, your diet that you're attempting to partake in. Although I have to honestly say myself, and I'm very guilty, once it got started, it kind of cascaded to where it was like watching the Flash run, watching my Twitter feed try to update and notifications coming through, because it must have been at least a half a dozen of us just jabbing at you with the funny stick, you know, because,
oh my goodness,
you know, they say that you can tell how many people like you or love you by the number of people that pick on you. And based on that, you're a very
people in
yeah. Yeah. And I have to say, I learned something new. I did not know that you were a Pepsi-tarian. I would have really, really thought you as a Coca-Cola type of guy, but
even is heresy in this house.
Even though you are a Pepsi-tarian, I still love you as a brother in Christ, and I can look past your ignorance in that aspect, your walk.
Yes. You know, it's funny. You know, we are so creatures of habit, and soda or pop or Coke or whatever you want to call it. I mean, you talk about, okay, arguments on Twitter. No, don't worry. Calvinism, Arminianism, theonomy, non-theonomy, AHA, non-AHA, AHA. No. These hold nothing. No candle whatsoever. If you say something like, I'm for Pepsi. My goodness, the floodgates that opened. I almost thought I was going to be cast out of the church. I mean, my goodness. Andy Olson came after me. Anonymu, who does our music for the end of this. I'm almost ready to remove that music for the things that it, this. Oh, by the way, Anonymu, you don't. How dare you go after me for my Pepsi drinking when you dip peanut butter and jelly into chicken soup? Dude, you need help, okay? Yeah, I can't imagine such a nasty combination. And that man, at least once a week, has to put that picture on screen on Twitter. There is something wrong with that man. He just doesn't, I mean, he won't admit it. He has a problem, he won't admit it. And yet I catch grief for drinking Pepsi. And I'll tell you something, I'm actually drinking very little of it in the last couple of weeks. I've been trying to be really, really good. At my very worst, I was at 187 pounds. Now, I know some folks are going, I wish I could be down to 187. That was just my worst. The best shape I was ever in was when I came back from Fort Knox, Kentucky, after spending 4 months in the Army Officer Basic Course as a lieutenant. And I had gone from 135 pounds to 165 pounds. And I actually fit into my security guard uniform because they didn't make them scrawny enough for me. I was 125 pounds when I graduated high school, sopping wet. I went to college, I came out at 135, and the first time in my life I actually fit the lanky frame that God graced me with was when I came back from Fort Knox. And I have not seen 165 since then. It's slowly but surely progressed its way up the chain. And I've gotten a few nasty letters every year. We have our annual physical. And so this year, trying to exercise more. I am not the most disciplined person in the world. That's why I've yet to put it. I've got notes for articles. I really have notes for articles for the Slaves of the King site. I promise. I just haven't sat down to write them yet, so please forgive me. But I'm just not the most disciplined person, so I'll start something, and then something will come up, and I get sidetracked, and I can't finish. And I did an exercise regimen for a while, and I tweaked my shoulder, and then I tweaked my ankle, and so I got off track with that. Then I got a bike, and I started getting on my bike, and I got, of all people, I got smack talked by James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. I got smack talked. I did a 6-mile bike ride. Okay, no, I'm not going to go through the Tour de France. Not going to happen. I know better. But I just simply let Mike Abendroth over at No Compromise Radio know, hey, this morning I was listening to your program on my ride, and the polite smack talk I got from James White was, oh, and I'll see your 6-mile bike ride, and I'll raise you 69 more. sure, yes, he was getting warmed up as I was falling off my bike, panting and trying not to die. But, hey, thanks for contributing, Chris. We in the biking community are so thrilled you eked out a meager 6 miles. So I got James White harassing me. I got you guys posting pictures of stuff I shouldn't be eating. I got Michelle Leslie posting pictures of homemade chocolate chip cookies. I got people talking about Coca-Cola and Pepsi. And here I am, actually for the first time in my life, because I need to, portioning what I eat, staying away from the sugars as much as I can, and you guys dogpile on me.
And it was a big dogpile. I mean,
brutal.
But funny.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it wouldn't be a week on Voice of Reason Radio if there wasn't something for me to, some reason to poke at me, which I give plenty of reasons. So, I'm an easy target. Why not?
And just so the listeners know, that's actually part of my outline for the show each yes. week. I've got it wrote out right here, the title of tonight's show. The date that we were supposed to have recorded, but thanks to my being under the weather was postponed. Then I have intro, and I literally I'm looking on it on the screen right now in my schedule. Chris Poke of the Week is actually something that I schedule regularly. So, but I love Chris, and
I feel that love. I'm telling you, I'm feeling that love.
If you ask any of my family that I have that lives under my roof, I aggravate them almost as bad as I do Chris. So everything I say and mess with Chris about it is truly out of love.
Well, I do believe that you caught not grief, not only from me about what you were saying, but your daughter also went after you for
it. Oh, yeah. Very, very viciously standing up for Uncle Chris, taking your side and telling me how bad it was for me to be picking on you and to leave you alone. And I found it very cute and very amusing that she was stepping in doing that. And she's never even met you. And as far as I know, she has actually very little interaction online with you.
Yeah,
so,
no,
there's something in there. She's took a liking to your brother, and she's going to hold my feet to the fire and not let me get away with picking on you.
Well, I'm glad there's some folks that out there that still like me.
Like I said, we pick on those we love, and you're widely loved on Twitter.
Oh, my goodness, am I widely loved. And just for the record, I'm down to like 181.2, and I have held that weight for the last 3 days. Okay, and I know you should not weigh yourself every day because I know there's fluctuations. But I had pizza on Friday, a couple of slices of gluten-free pizza because my son can't handle the gluten. It's not celiac. It just seems to be an allergy thing. So I had a couple pieces of pizza. We went on Saturday. We went and ate out a little bit. We watched what we were eating, and we didn't eat it. Because if I go to Del Taco, I really like the guac and steak burrito. I didn't have that. Okay, that guac and steak burrito, I could basically feed three children in Africa for a week on, and I like to eat this thing, and I didn't. I got the small chicken burrito. I shared my fries with my wife. I went and got iced tea with lemon. I didn't even get sweetened tea. For those of you in the South, stop screaming at me, okay? I had unsweetened tea with lemon. I'm being good. And I've dropped about, you know, I've been hovering around the 184, 185 mark in recent months, and I'm down to 181. So if y'all want to keep fighting with me and call, you know, calling me names and stuff on Twitter, that's fine. I can mute you. I need to deal with this, okay? I need to, if I can get to about 170, I would be thrilled. I'd be thrilled beyond belief, because that would be the closest back to what my best shape was. And the only reason I don't ever see myself going back to 165 is I did that on a daily basis doing physical fitness training with the Army. I have no desire to get up every morning, do, you know, 5 mile runs and, you know, sit ups and push ups and have an Army sergeant screaming at me. Okay. I'm not doing it again. I served my time. I'm done. I'm not going back to that weight. It's not that discipline. Leave me alone. All right. You know what, brother? We've done it again. It's 11 minutes in, and we haven't even talked about the show we're supposed to do. And we have two things that we have to announce. One is, and you guys will see this on the blog, because I've promised to do a review, Tony Miano's new book, Cross Encounters, is out. You can find it on Amazon, or you can go to the Cross Encounters Men .com, right? CrossEncountersMen.com. I'm getting that right.
Yeah.
Okay.
MIN.com,
and you can purchase the book there. It's a book about the various encounters that Tony has had in his evangelism ministry. I've already heard some good things about the book. Looking forward to getting a copy, and I will put it on the website on Slave to the King once I've read it and review it. Tony, forgive me. I just admit it. I'm not the most disciplined person in the world. It won't be the fastest review, but I will get it out there. I do promise you, brother. But you can also, and Rich, you just sent me a link. Oh, Solid Ground Books. Solid Ground Books, if you Google that. That's also where you'll find it. Definitely want you to recommend. We had Tony as our first guest on the show just not long ago, and we want you to continue to support his ministry. He's a brother in Christ, committed to preaching the gospel, and I think this book will be useful because it will help you see what an evangelist on the street has been involved in, and the things that he's encountered, and his own additional information, not just the transcripts of those discussions, but the things that he says regarding them and how to deal with those. Tony has always been committed to preaching the gospel, and I highly recommend that you get the book, Amazon, Solid Ground Books, or CrossEncountersMen.com. And the other thing is, Rich, we got to turn around and more or less do this tomorrow night, don't we?
Oh yeah, and I'm kind of looking forward to it, and kind of feel sorry for Ricky Gantz at the same time, because you and I have never been on another radio show as the guest at the same time. I think we've both been on Ricky's show G220 a couple of times individually, but I don't think we've ever done another interview where they were crazy enough to have us both on at the same time. So
yeah,
it should be a real hoot, and I have a feeling that we may need to ask our listeners to be praying for Ricky and
yes,
the future
yes.
of G220 after having us on.
Yes, pray for Ricky Gantz. I, you know, the man, I'm fairly certain, had a moment of temporary insanity when he messaged the two of us and said, "Hey, I'd like to have you both at the same time on the show." Ricky, are you really listening to us? We're 14 minutes into our own show. We haven't even started yet. But yes, we're going to be on G220 Radio tomorrow. You just, you know, go online, Google G220 Radio. You can find it on Facebook, Twitter. You can find it online. It's, I believe, they host through Blog Talk Radio, right?
Yeah, they do.
So we know that routine, and that means we will be cursing Skype and AT&T even more tomorrow night, because we got to try and do this live as opposed to recording where I can go back and edit things out. So we'll be on there, and Blog Talk Radio is a live program, so you can actually listen to us live. It will be 6 p.m. Pacific time, and if you are not in the Pacific you know, if you're not on the left coast of the America, then just start doing the math as you go east, and you'll figure out where your time zone is, and that's when you can listen. Or it will podcast later, and you can listen then. But we would love to have people tune into Ricky's show. Ricky's a brother in Christ. Love his program. Love what he's doing. And he has been so kind as to invite us on and basically to talk about our program, to talk about you know, our testimony. And basically, I don't know what – I still don't know what he's thinking having the both of us on. This is just going to be – it's going to be interesting. we may run that show into the ground. Who knows? Sorry, Ricky.
If we do, we don't mean to.
Yeah, no. We love him, and we're actually very grateful for him to allow us to be on. We're looking forward to it. G220 Radio. Go check it out. We will be on there tomorrow night, September 6th, 6 p.m. Pacific time. And that's because I have to get off at work at 5, and I don't get home till after 5:30. So, hey, don't complain to Ricky. It's my fault. So that's what we got to deal with. Okay, speaking of other ministries, that's the point of the program tonight. We're supposed to be talking about that. Okay, we are talking about the issue of variety of ministries within the church. And Rich, I think you gave us an interesting title tonight, and it's the idea of making idols of service. And what do we mean by that, Rich? What do we mean when we're saying you can be making idols of service regarding the ministry that you're involved in?
Well, of course, you know, there's evangelism and, you know, the many different forms of evangelism, such as, you know, one-on-one conversations or open-air preaching or tract distribution or, you know, sharing the gospel with those in your family or raising your children and teaching the gospel. But, you know, there's also other things such as abortion ministry, church itself, ministry of feeding the poor and, like, helping the homeless. But also, and it's part of your own personal ministry that a lot of people don't realize is your own family. But in the making idols of service, I mean, it can go even farther. Some people will make idols of their jobs or sports, or even make an idol out of their own pastor or a famous pastor that they see on television, or one that everyone seems to retweet on Twitter or share on Facebook, or some well-known evangelist that stays in the spotlight. You know, all of these things someone can make into an idol. And, you know, pretty much anything you can think of can be made into an idol. You can even make an idol out of yourself. So what you and I hope to do tonight is to take a look at what the Bible has to say about serving the Lord in the different capacities as many members, but all being one body of Christ, my brother.
Amen. Amen. You know, and the simple way to look at what is an idol is anything that takes the place of God in your life. So, you know, Rich, you talked about making idols of work. You know, if your devotion to your job and to promotion and to a good retirement and making $1 million is the thing that you spend so much time devoted to, that can be an idol. If you don't look at the, you know, work, and it, by the way, if you want a really good study on biblical perspective of work, go check out Grace to You, John MacArthur's radio ministry. He's been doing it since last week, a biblical perspective of work. That's a biblical perspective. Please go check those out. I think I shared a couple links last week. Really great perspective a great biblical perspective on work. But anytime you put something at the head where God belongs, that's an idol. And when we say making idols of service, we're talking about the idea of your ministry, the thing that God has called you to do, has given you a burning desire to serve in, has equipped you, has opened your eyes to see the need for, in one respect can become an idol. And how is that? Well, I think I've used this example before. Rich, correct me if I'm wrong. When I first got involved in biblical evangelism, I remember getting connected to people online for the first time who understood biblical evangelism, the law and the gospel, using the law to show people where they stood before God as sinners, and preaching the gospel, showing them that there was an escape from hell in the form of Jesus Christ, the repentance and faith in his completed work. And when I learned that for the first time, when I heard Ray Comfort's teaching on that for the first time, my mind was blown, and I got involved in that. I went to the Ambassadors Academy that Ray Comfort, and at that time Tony Miano was the more or less the head of that particular school. I got to see and meet people for the first time who understood what I now understood, and I remember seeing people posting online about what God was doing with them through their evangelism efforts. And I also saw the ugly side of that. And that was people's cage stage, as it's been termed. I've heard James White refer to it as that period where you've learned something biblical for the first times, and you belong in a cage for a year where you can't do yourself or anyone else any harm. And I saw cage stage evangelists who would post things like, I can't believe someone would do a garage sale on the weekend when there's souls out there that are going to hell. And I remember looking at that and going, yikes, that's harsh. And it was the first time that I had seen it. And I won't say that I wasn't cage stage, or I was. I said and did things I look back on now and go, ugh, boy, I probably should have been kept in a closet for a while. That was a scary person. but it's one of those things where, depending on what you're involved in, you come to have a biblical perspective, let's say, for the first time, and you suddenly lose all patience. I mean, God did not strike you with a thunderbolt the day you learned biblical evangelism, or the day you learned about abortion ministry, or the day you learned about the need in the church that you're getting involved in, whatever that may be, some sort of helps ministry, going out and helping single moms who are raising kids who don't know the gospel. Yeah. You get involved in something and you go, how is nobody else involved in this? How can you not be involved in this? Don't you see the desperate need? And what we're talking about when we say making idols of service is, suddenly you've elevated that need, command to do this. And Rich, you and I will probably speak of this mostly from evangelism perspective, because that's the kind of the topic we're most familiar with, but you could apply anything to it. Like I said, it could be a more abortion ministry, it could be feeding the homeless, it can be anything, any of those issues. When you came to understand the need for that and how desperate the plight was, you began to look at other Christians and go, how can you not do this? How can you not see the need? And yet, before you came to that point, you weren't struck down by lightning. And where God was gracious to us, we're not so gracious with other Christians. And we've seen this on the internet plenty of times. We've talked about it on the program before, about how we encounter and how we interact with other Christians with whom we have disagreements. But this is one of those things where you can actually see it get magnified, where people will call out Bible-believing Christians and churches and refer to them as almost apostate because they don't get involved the way they think that these people think they should. Perhaps if you followed in the evangelism circles, you've heard the term nomadism that was coined by Tony a while back. It's this idea of people who would separate from churches because the churches weren't doing enough for evangelism. And so they don't come under the authority of a local church. They become a church unto themselves, so to speak, and they go out and they preach the gospel, and there's nobody there to hold them accountable for things they say and do that are completely unbiblical. And that's become a real problem just in evangelism circles, and it's become a problem in other areas. So what we wanted to do tonight was go to 1 Corinthians 12, and we want to go through the verses, many of the verses in 1 Corinthians 12. We're talking about verses 4 through 31, and we're going to read through that, and we're going to talk about what God has said. Now, I understand there's some people going to say, but it's a command to evangelize. But we're supposed to love our neighbor. And there's those out there that aren't being loved because they're not being protected. But there's this need and this command by God to minister to orphans and widows. That's pure and undefiled religion. I get it. Okay, yes, these are commands. But what Rich and I want to do is talk about how God has gifted the body of Christ for various things. And so where you may be gifted to address a need and a ministry in one area, God may be working with another person in another area. It does not negate our responsibilities, especially to the responsibility of the gospel, but it does remind us that not all of us are the same person. We don't have all the same gift. We don't have the same calling. We don't have the same command in the sense that we all have to do it the same way. And we want to address that. Rich, what would you say to those who are, they're looking at their ministry, they're looking at the need and the command, and they're saying, but the church isn't doing it. How are we on the right track? Do you think this is going to be what we're talking about tonight is going to be the answer to that?
Well, I pray through the Lord's help that we'll bring some clarity to the issue. But just like what you were pointing out, it rather gets back to what a person focuses on, is that, you know, this issue or this agenda is so important to them. And as a human, you know, we don't live a perfect balanced life as a Christian, which would be helpful if we could more and more, just like Proverbs 11:1 states about a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. I think that applies to a Christian's life and to his approach to the various giftings and to the body of believers as a whole. I mean, you have some churches whose primary focus may be feeding the poor, or another church's primary focus may be abortion ministry. Another church's primary focus may be street evangelism. But you need, the listeners and you and I both need to remember that we're all still part of the same body. So while one part of the body may be doing one thing, another part of the body is doing something else. But I think it's partially because the centrality of focus on the part of man, we seem to get tunnel vision when it comes to certain types of ministry and to the things that we're involved with, to where we lose focus and lose sight of the bigger picture that, yes, each one of these individual services are important, but no one is more important than the other, and nothing that we're involved with negates our own individual responsibility when it comes to sharing the gospel to those around us, brother.
Amen. Amen. All right, so let's do this. Get your Bibles out. Use your iPad. Use your tablet. Another thing I'm getting yelled at for, I'm an Android guy. I just got hollered at today. I'm not an Apple guy. I'm sorry, but Apple has that little bite out of the fruit. Isn't that, we've heard that before, bite out of the fruit condemned all mankind. Never mind. Anyway, so get your tablet out, your Android, your whatever device. Get your mobile device. Open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to start in verse 4, and we're going to work through some of this and use it to talk about how we deal with the fact that there are ministries within the church that are commanded, things that we should do because God has said so, but recognizing that each individual Christian is an individual member and may have a slightly different direction from God and in the way he was equipped. So starting in verse 4, Paul writes, and I'm reading from the ESV if you're curious, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is 4:21 is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another one faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. And that's verses 4 through 11. Now, we need to take note of something. Each and every Christian is gifted by God for service to God. All right? We all have gifts. You know, it's not like, okay, there's a super spiritual group that God has equipped, you know, like kind of like the Catholic Church says, you have these priests and you have these monks and you have bishops and you have the Pope, and they're the elite class that God has gifted, and you poor lay people, you just have to kind of sit there and trust that what we're telling you is the truth. And I'm probably going to yelled at by my Catholic friends for that. But that is the perception given. Ask anybody who's come out of a Catholic church, and that there's that tension that they feel when they come into a church and you hear someone being called a saint. You know what the Bible says? Hey, you're saints. No. Saints are the people that know. Saints are people who believe in Christ. They're not Mother Teresa that the Pope just said is a saint, and this is a woman who doubted God. I don't know how you can be a saint and yet you doubted God. Sorry, that's another issue for another time. But you all, as Christians, have gifts. They're all for God's service, and not all of us have the same gifts. Some people do, they might have gifts in different portions. Some may have a greater faith. Some may have faith that's just greater than the average person. Some persons may be able to speak and preach and teach at a level that is far beyond any of us. Some of us might just be able to do it at a level that others go, wow, you just blew my mind. Yeah, that totally makes sense. So there's going to be different portions, but it's not going to be the same gift entirely, because God is using us all uniquely. And because we all have those unique gifts, we also have different activities and different services that God has given us to do. So what does that mean for those of us who are looking at the ministries that we're involved with? Well, all of us have the command to preach the gospel, for example. It's not some people are evangelists and only they preach the gospel. No, we all have the command to preach the gospel, for example. But somebody may be more gifted to do street preaching, where maybe, hey, mom, your job in the home is to raise your kids and preach the gospel to them. So we're gifted differently, and our activities and our callings may be different. And no one gifting is more important than another. No one activity, no one service is going to be more important than the other. Why? Because God, through the Spirit, the one Spirit who has appointed this to all people as he is willed, if God says that's what I've gifted you to do, that is the important thing for that person to do. So if a person is a prayer warrior, and I mean a prayer warrior, I'll tell you, I wish I had the prayer abilities of some people I've met. I struggle with prayer. I am not officially ADHD, but I'll tell you something. I was asking on Twitter the other night, how do you guys handle trying to read or write when you have a family? Because I am so auditorily distracted. I'm one of those people that if I'm sitting down and I hear beep, beep, I need to get up and go find out what the beep is. Okay, it makes me nutty. I can't concentrate. And if you got kids who are talking and playing, they're building Legos, or your wife is watching a television program. My wife likes to watch the PBS. They got all those cooking shows for free to watch, and they got some amazing stuff on there. And so there's nothing sinful about the behavior that's distracting, but I can't read. I can't focus. And so how does a person who is so auditorily distracted, how do you pray? You know, man, I wish I had the prayer abilities of some people. But I've had people, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back because sometimes I wonder what they're thinking when they say this. I've had some people tell me I seem to be gifted in my writing or my speaking. And it's like, dude, you need to get out more if you think that I'm gifted in that. But that's that. My abilities are not more important than theirs, and their prayer abilities are not more important than mine. This is where God has gifted us. Nobody's more important than the other in that regard. And so we are to work according to the gifts that we're given because we're doing it for the Lord. We want to strive to grow in our giftings. You know, if you're a prayer warrior, you want to continue to grow in that. If you're someone who God is equipped to be an evangelist, I mean, someone who spends full time not only going out and preaching, but also equipping the brethren, boy, you want to grow in that. If you're someone God has equipped to be a voice for the unborn, boy, grow in that. That we want you to do that. But don't feel like your gift is more important than others. And somebody who's looking at their gifts and they're going, wow, I wish I could do what that person does. Don't think you're less Christian because your gifting is not the same as someone else or is not of the same portion as someone else. Okay? God gifts according to what He wills. And if we look at each other like you're not doing what I think you should be doing, or I'm not doing enough because that person is doing this, we are denying the sovereign will of God because we think we know better than God. If I say, well, you should be more involved in prayer. Well, is prayer a command? Yep. Should we all be growing in it? Yep. Should I be involved as much as the person who is in the prayer meetings every single week? Maybe. I don't know. God hasn't put that on me yet. He's put me in a different area. But if someone harps on me for not being in the prayer meeting every week, they're saying, you know, and this is not addressing the issue of failings of Christians who simply don't respond to the command of God. That's not what we're talking about. That is a genuine issue. We'll try to touch on that before the show's over. We're just talking about in general, talking about Bible-believing Christians who actually do have giftings and are obedient to the giftings. So we're trying to remove those distractions. If you don't give God His due and say God has equipped this person in this way and He's not equipped them like me, so therefore, I can go and harp on them for not doing it what I do, or I can complain that I don't have the gifting that someone else has. We're denying the sovereign will of God. God appoints gifts and services and activities for His service according to His sovereign will, and it all comes from the same Spirit. And to say otherwise is complete denial of what the Word of God says. Rich, you agree on that?
Oh, yes, brother, and it's a two-sided coin, so to speak, that we should never covet the gifts someone else has, but on the flip side of that, we should not become puffed up in our own gifts, and through all, we need to make sure that we're giving glory to God for any gifts bestowed on us. And also give glory to God to gifts bestowed on those that we know and those people that are around us. I'm going to sidetrack you a little bit because this thought popped into my head, and I'm very simple-minded, so I'm assuming that it probably popped in someone else's head as well. But at this point, how would you address learning and discovering what a person, just say like you and I are having a discussion, and I asked you, Chris, how do I discover or how do I figure out what it is that the Lord has gifted me with? How would you answer that question to someone that's listening if that thought has crept into their mind?
Yeah, I think one of the first ways is maybe pray and ask God, show me what you have equipped me to do and what you've called me to do. I don't think God will deny that. Now, He's not going to do that mystically. There's not going to be this sudden whoa moment, and He just gives you this supernatural revelation. I don't believe He does that. But I think if you pray that, and then as you're studying the Scriptures, and you begin to see certain things come out, and those things tug at you, and they build you and they strengthen you. That's I think the first place is, it's pray, ask God. You know, the Bible says that if we will pray, God will give us the desires of our heart. Well, God is, that is not talking about I want a 2016 Chevy Camaro. I'm probably going to get yelled at on Twitter for not being a Ford fan. But he's talking about as we conform to the image of Christ, our heart's desire should be for the things that Christ desires, for what God desires for us. So if you are praying, God, give me the desires of your heart and show in me where you have equipped me. I think he's going to be faithful to that. I think that's the first thing. I think another thing is talk to your family, you know, provided they're Christians. You know, non-Christians are not going to get this question for the most part. Talk to your church and ask them, what do you see in me that God has equipped me to do? Because my wife, for example, she does not receive compliments well. She's very introspective, and honestly, I am too, more than anybody knows. I'm terrible at it. I'm good at belly button gazing, let me tell you. My wife is like that. But what people will tell her, it just blows her mind. She is a helper. She just has to help people. She is an encourager. She will minister to people. And my wife does not believe she understands Scripture well. But when she talks to me about what she said to someone, I look at her and I go, you understood that perfectly. How can you tell me you don't understand Scripture? You just told them what that says. People can tell you these things because they will see it in you. They will see that. Another thing is, when you are talking about the things of God, what are you passionate about? Are you passionate about evangelism? Are you passionate about teaching the word? Are you passionate about prayer? Are you passionate about serving the needs in your church? Those are things that God has equipped you with. These are biblical things. So when you're looking through and you're reading things like, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and you're looking at the gifts, and you go, man, you know, that right there, that evangelism, man, people need to hear the gospel. I mean, man, if people just understood the gospel, man, that's something God has equipped you with. So be praying, be studying, conform yourself to the image and likeness of Christ. Ask God to show you his desire for you, to put that desire upon your heart, and talk to people who know you personally and can help you kind of parse out what it is God has done with you. What is he building in you? What is he growing? And these things are things that take time. I'll tell you right now, I am the worst person in the world that God can ever kind of even give a hint of where he's taking me, because I want to bypass the journey and get to the end zone. And, you know, many, many years ago, I felt the desire to want to teach and preach. And so I thought I was going to be a pastor. God, I think, started laughing when I thought that. But in some ways, God has allowed me to do that. But I was such a snot about it. I wanted to bypass everything. I wanted to bypass all the avenues of learning. I wanted to bypass all the sanctification, all the things that God had to work me through to even get me do this much. And it takes time. Be patient. Maybe God's going to have you scrubbing toilets in the church as a part of your service to him. Maybe he won't have you preaching from the pulpit next week, but you have a desire to preach. Maybe it starts with just humbling yourself and serving. What capacity does your church need help? Maybe you're not really sure what your giftings are, but you know there are areas in the church your church needs help. Start serving. You know, I taught Sunday school for about a year and a half. I had helped about 4 months, I think, before I actually became a teacher. So I was an assistant, and then I taught for a year and a half. After a year and a half, I went, I am not a Sunday school teacher. You know, but God used that, and he helped me figure out what he's equipped me to do. So those are things that I think that you can pursue to help you understand that. Does that make sense?
Yes, brother. And I absolutely love your answer. And I'm just going to sum it up and say, be proactive. Yes, definitely pray and ask the Lord to reveal to you what your spiritual gifts are. Ask the Lord to reveal to you what he would have you do to serve him. But in the meantime, don't sit back and wait for a booming voice to come blaring out of the sky while you're laid back on the couch. Get up and be active and do something. And if what you're involved in ministry is not right and it's not what the Lord has meant for you, he will guide and direct you to where he wants you to be. Just like Chris said, he tried teaching Sunday school for a year and a half, and you know, through whatever circumstances, Chris came to the realization that that was not for him. But the main thing is, do something. You know, like Chris said, go to your church and ask, is there something you can do to help serve the church? And you get in motion and get active, and the Lord's going to guide and direct you to where he wants you to be at. But you do have a responsibility to get up off of your couch and do something and get started, because the Lord will guide and direct you, but he's not going to mystically make you float up off the couch and drift you over to a computer screen and all of a sudden a page pop up that, okay, here's what you're supposed to do. It's kind of like we've talked about in the past with people cherry picking a passage of scripture where they just flip open the Bible and poke the finger down and say, okay, this is what I'll read today. It doesn't work like that. I mean, it takes work, it takes patience, and it takes humility. And no matter what you're doing, whether it's scrubbing toilets or preaching from a pulpit, or you're a wife or a mother and you're cooking meals for the fellowship dinners at the church and trying to encourage other women, whatever you're doing, do it to the glory of God and give him the glory no matter what the results are, whether you succeed or whether you fail. Give the glory to God and ask him to keep increasing you and growing you and teaching you, and continue to pray that the Lord may grant you more faith, hope, and love in all of your conduct while you're here on earth, my friend.
Amen. Amen. And remember, all service is about glorifying God. That is our service, is to glorify God. It is not to glorify ourselves. It is not to kind of give a spiritual belt notch to say, I've accomplished this, I've accomplished that, I've saved this many souls, I've served this many people, I've saved this many babies' lives. That's not what it's about. It's about bringing glory to God. And when we bring glory to God, God will be faithful to use that for his purposes, and souls will be saved, and people will be ministered to, and babies will be saved, etc. So keep that in mind. All right. So going to was there anything else before I jumped ahead of you?
No, brother. Go
okay.
ahead.
Okay. Just want to make sure I didn't jump ahead. All right. So verses 12 and 13. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and were all made to drink of one spirit. So we are all in the same body. One's gifts and callings does not make you or them any less part of that body. Okay? So being many members, we're not all the same. We're all part of the same body. And Paul will go into this talking about the physical makeup of the body. But think of it this way. You have hair, you have skin, you have eyes, you have nose, mouth, you have lungs, you have heart, you have feet, toes. You have all these things that make you up, and that's one body, but there's many parts, and every part has its part to play, and there are parts that you'll never see, which Paul will talk about, and they will do functions that really don't seem to you all that important. Your eyes may seem the most important thing in the world, but imagine how well you would function without a liver. Now, you don't think about your liver, do you? No, you're selfish. You think about your eyes. Sorry, just kidding. But you don't think about your liver until it doesn't work anymore. You don't think about your gallbladder until you get gallstones. Okay, and you're in tremendous amounts of pain. I have not had that. My wife has. I've seen what she went through with that. It was not pleasant. but that is an essential part of your body. Your body doesn't function right if that's not functioning, right? So every one of us has those parts, those parts to play. And so we're not all the same. We don't have all the same duties. We do have the same commands, but the body works in conjunction to accomplish the function of you being alive. So if each part is working like it should, you function as a person. If every person within the church functions as God has equipped you, then the end goal of ministering before the Lord and glorifying Him and accomplishing what the church has been commanded to accomplish gets done. We're just not all going to have the same gifts, callings, activities, service. And if you think that's the case, you're denying Scripture. Paul just made it clear. We are many members but one body. The members work in conjunction doing their part for the body to function. Right, Rich?
Amen, brother. I mean, amen. And I think you hit on it, you know, right on the head. And, you know, it all comes down to, no matter what, it's the same Holy Spirit that indwells every believer. Chris and I both have the same Holy Spirit given to us that was given to Paul. There's one Holy Spirit for all of us. And I'm going to quote from Matthew Henry, and he says, each member has its form, place, and use. There must be a distinction of members in the body. So Christ's members have different powers in different places. We should do the duties of our own place and not murmur or quarrel with others. All the members of the body are useful and necessary to each other, as in the natural body of man. The members should be closely united by the strongest bonds of love. The good of the whole should be the object of all. All Christians are dependent one upon another. Each is to expect and receive help from the rest. Let us then have more of the spirit of union in our religion. And I think that's something that is sadly neglected in our world today. It's union in the body of Christ. And I'm not talking about, you know, going out here and saying that everyone that proclaims to be a Christian is a Christian. I'm talking about those within your local church, assuming that you belong to a good, solid, Bible-believing church. There should be a feeling of family, a sense of union among all of you, where each person is helping the other. That just like the Bible says, you rejoice with those that rejoice. You cry with those that cry. You help those that need help. You do everything you can to lift up your brother or sister in Christ. And that includes your pastor, because your pastor is a brother in Christ. I'm not going to say sister, because if you got a woman pastor, you don't have a pastor at all. Amen. If you don't like that, I'm over it already, because the Bible makes that clear. But your pastor is a brother in Christ. Now, granted, he's called to lead you and shepherd you, but he is a brother just like the man sitting next to you, or the sister sitting next to you is your sister. You need to pray for your pastor. The worst thing that you can ever do is put your pastor up on a pedestal and think that he's supposed to be better than anyone else. He is still a human, and he's still going to make mistakes. He's still going to have struggles. You need to go up to your pastor, put your arm around him, thank him for his service, and ask him how you can be praying for him to help him throughout the coming week, my friend.
Amen. Amen. That's the whole point, is that the gifts and the callings are for the function of the body. And in another passage, it says that the point of the gifts of the Spirit is for the edification of the church. So we are talking about those who are gifted differently still have a duty for the spiritual health of the church to use those gifts and callings. Now, I can imagine there are people listening right now saying, but there are people not doing this. I agree. There are. And that is a legitimate complaint. You know, whether it's, you know, there are people in the church, you know, who simply have a genuine need to be provided for, and not, you know, simply failing to work or you know, they've living beyond their means, but I mean literally destitute and the church is not providing. Okay, that's wrong. That shouldn't be happening. Maybe you've got a church that just does not believe in evangelism at all. They just don't go out and they don't share the gospel with anybody. That's wrong. You know, if you have a church that does not try to minister to people who are, have any kind of, you know, pregnancy issues, and or they're not doing anything. I mean, just zero, have zero concern about the lives being lost in the womb to abortion. I mean, you know, might even, you know, might just don't do anything. Don't support candidates who are pro-life. Don't get involved in crisis pregnancy centers. Anything. They could just care less. That happens. It's out there. But then our job as the body of Christ is to use our gifts and our callings for the edification of the church, not to go out and kind of use a Holy Spirit sledgehammer and beat people into submission and say, you're not doing evangelism well enough, and I'm going to beat you with this Holy Spirit baseball bat until you submit and do what I think you should be doing. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about using our gifts and callings. Maybe you're part of a church. Let's go back to the evangelism issue. We all have a command to share the gospel, all of us. And maybe your church just isn't involved in it at all. Maybe their closest thing they get to evangelism is invite a neighbor to church, and the pastor says, God has a wonderful plan for your life. Maybe that's as close as it gets. Then if God has equipped you through the study of the word, you can use those gifts to work within your church to help develop a desire for evangelism. First off, go out and evangelize yourself. You don't have to be on the street corner with a bullhorn. You don't have to go out with signs. You don't have to go to the corner, the street fair or something like that and have some big outreach. You can start faithfully using the knowledge that God has given you to go out and preach the gospel to friends, neighbors, coworkers, and you can talk to people in your church about what God is doing with you as you are sharing the gospel. You can approach your pastors and say, I just want to talk to you about, you know, one thing I know we don't do a lot of is evangelism, and I know we're called to do it, and I'd like to see, what can we do as a church to get involved? Don't go, you know, heavy-handed saying, you're doing this wrong, here's this book, read this, and you need to watch this video and do this. And no. You are a part of this body. You have a function God has given you. So work using that function. Don't come in trying to take over. Use the giftings and callings God has given you. Okay? That's why we're saying this is about the spiritual strength that God gives to the body of Christ and everybody who works together for the specific purpose of the edification of the church to bring glory to God. And if you overlook that, then you can be guilty of assuming things from people and, you know, assuming their motivations, assuming their gifts, assuming their calling, and start getting on top of people for nothing and for no reason, because you were not commanded to do that. Okay, work with what God has given you. Let's go to verse 14. I'm going to read 14 to 20. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. So remember, God appoints gifts, service, activities through the Holy Spirit for his glory. And it is said, each part God arranged as he chose. So God may have equipped you to be an evangelist, but he may have equipped someone else to be a prayer warrior. He may have equipped someone else to be involved in a helps ministry. Does that, you understand what I'm getting at? Every person has a gift. Do all of us, I'm using evangelism again, do all of us have a command to preach the gospel? Yes. Does everybody have to preach the gospel the way the evangelist does? No. Do we all have in Scripture how to talk about the gospel? Yes. Do we have freedom and liberty as long as we are ministering according to the gifts and callings God has given us, according to the Scriptures, to share that gospel in the capacity in which God has placed us? Absolutely. We have liberty to do that. So one person may be on the street corner and may be preaching the gospel to a crowd of an unruly people, like an Emilio Ramos, who goes to a college campus every week and is engaging the students there. You know, Heritage Grace Bible Church. If any of you know who Trish Ramos is, Fish with Trish, she's on Wretched Radio, but usually once a week talking about Biggest Project. Her husband, Emilio Ramos, the man is an open-air preaching machine, and he is the pastor of the church. Is everybody in Emilio Ramos's church required to go out and open-air preach? Absolutely not. They have liberty to preach a biblical gospel in whatever capacity God has put them in. And a prayer warrior can still be praying like nobody's business for Pastor Ramos and his preaching, and then go home at the end of the day and be ministering to her family and preaching the gospel to her children, right? She doesn't have to be out there doing the same thing, right? A husband who works a 60-hour work week and has barely got time for his family, should he give that up to be on the street corner, or to be in front of an abortion clinic, or to be in a health ministry, or to be in Sunday school? Should he give the precious little time God has given him, because the job, he just to pay the bills, is 60 hours a week, he has to give all that up to minister in the same way that you do? Absolutely not. No way. No way. Not all of us are an eye or an ear or a nose or a foot or a hand. We're not divorced from the body because our gifting is different. But if that father faithfully preaches the gospel to his children every night, and when he's on the job on his break time, because he's not going to use his employer's time, he's going to use his break time, he's going to talk to his fellow co-workers about Christ, is he not evangelizing? Of course he is. So he's using his giftings and his callings entirely different from Pastor Ramos, for example. Okay? Don't assume because a person is not doing the things the way you're doing them, because God has put you in that unique circumstance to be able to do that. Don't assume that they're less than you or they're somehow not part of the body because they're not doing what you're doing. And if on the flip side of this, you see someone, let's say you're the dad who works 60 hours a week and you know the desperate need for the gospel to be preached, and you can't get away from work. You've got so little time with your family. How do I do this? Do it in the capacity God's given you. You don't have to do what Pastor Emilio Ramos is doing. You don't have to do what Tony Miano's doing. You don't have to do what you guys like Ray Comfort are doing. No, God has gifted you in your sliver of life to be faithful. Maybe he's given you just the one talent. The parable of the talents, the 10, the 20, the 10, the one. Maybe it's just the one. Maybe he's giving you that one talent. Be faithful with the one. Don't covet the position of another. Don't covet the giftings of another. God didn't make you that. God made you with that little bit, that little bit of sliver of life to be responsible for. Maybe your big thing is abortion ministry. Okay, that's a big discussion right now, and I don't want to get into that too far. But maybe you desperately want to see lives saved. But you're a mom, you're homeschooling your children, and you're barely are trying to make your house function because, hey, your husband's working 60 hours a week. You've got all this to do, and he's bringing just enough home to kind of pay the bills. How do I get out there and minister to these poor women? What about the person next door? Maybe your friend whose daughter just got pregnant and is scared out of her mind, maybe you can minister to her. Maybe with the little bit that God has given you, you got kids at home, but they've outgrown their clothes. Maybe she would be less scared if I could bring her the things that I don't use anymore. Maybe if she had resources, she wouldn't be scared and she wouldn't be thinking about murdering her child. Is that not abortion ministry? Absolutely. Absolutely it is. Everybody has a slightly different position that God has given. And God has appointed it. We're not less part of the body because we're different from each other. The gifts we are given is because God has willed for us to use them for His work. So if I use them for His glory and not my own, then what am I doing? I'm faithful. I'm being a faithful servant of God, using my gifts to minister the way He has called me to. That's what this is about. We do it for God's purpose because He equipped us to do so. We're not doing it for the practical effect. Okay? We don't preach the gospel because we per se want soul saves. We preach the gospel because God is righteous, awesome, holy, merciful, and He, condescended to come to earth in the form of His Son. Excuse me, that sounded really bad. He, as the Son, came down in the form of man. If I said that really backwards, I apologize. He came down in the form of man. The Son, the second part of the Trinity, came down, condescended to take on humanity, and died on the cross and rose from the grave so that we could be forgiven. That's a message worth preaching. That's why we do it. And God will use that to save souls. That's why we do it. We minister to people in need because we were people in need once, because we desperately needed Jesus Christ. And God met our greatest need in Jesus Christ. And so we want to bring glory to God, and we minister to people in need because they have need. And so we want to bring glory to God and show, as people who were once in need who have been provided for, we can provide for others. We minister because we want to, in abortion clinics or persons who have or crisis pregnancy centers or in prayer warrior, for people who are looking at this. Why? Because we have a holy, righteous, and amazing God who created life in the womb, and it's precious to Him. So we glorify God. That's why we do it. And all of us are given these gifts, and we do them individually. So we do the work to glorify God, and if we do that, the work that He's given us to do as individuals, then what we recognize then is the work is significant, not because the work itself is significant, but because God is significant and God has given it to us to do. The ministry is significant because God has appointed us to do it. Now, we can do a whole nother show about calling those who are in rebellion against God, against commands of the church. I get that, and that's probably a good show to do. We really could do that. Talking about within the church, Bible-believing Christians, we have to be cautious and remember that each of us has been gifted and called and appointed by God because He chose it. I didn't get to choose it. God did. And you don't get to choose for someone else what their gift and calling is. And guess what? Let's go back to evangelism. If you, God is equipped as an evangelist, go out and preach the gospel. And if the church, the pastor is preaching to the church and he's equipping them in the word, and if those equipped with the word realize that they're gifted to be prayer warriors, are praying for souls to be saved, and others are serving in the body of Christ, taking care of things in the church so that you are not tied to that, but you're out on the street preaching, is not the church involved in the proclamation of the gospel? Yes! It's the body working together. Not everybody has to be a street evangelist, but everybody needs to serve, and everybody needs to minister before God, and everybody needs to work together as a unified body for the end goal, which is glorifying Christ. Rich?
Brother, I agree with everything you said, and especially when it comes to making assumptions about a church, especially if you're not a member of that church, don't assume that they don't care about the poor or the homeless or abortion just because you don't see them at the abortion clinic or at the homeless shelter every day, because there's always things going on behind the scenes that you will never know about. They may have a prayer meeting once a week to where everyone's sitting around praying for the homeless, or they may be praying for an end to abortion, or they may be involved in something else. But just because you don't see them out there on the street standing next to you doesn't mean that they don't care, and it doesn't mean that they're not involved in that particular portion of ministry in some form or fashion. So don't make assumptions, but give glory to Christ and thank Him for all that is going on. Thank Him for the gospel that is going out, and be prepared, because if you're truly, truly wanting to be used by God and to serve Him, be ready, because at some point you're probably going to think, Lord, thank you, but this is not exactly what I had in mind, because that has happened to me. And I know Chris is kind of laughing, because I assume that means that it's happened to him as well, mm-hmm. by the chuckle that he had.
Mm-hmm.
But when that happens, you, whether it's feeding the homeless or cleaning the bathroom at the church, you do it to every ounce of your strength and energy. Whatever it is the Lord has laid upon you to do, you do it the very best that you can. Give glory to Him and pray for Him to increase your grace so you can do it even more effectively. What do you think, brother?
Amen. Amen, brother. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I'm looking at the time here, brother, and we're about an hour and 10 minutes in, and I really want to be a good steward of our listeners' time. I would love to finish up the rest of this chapter in 1 Corinthians, but I think we've probably kind of made the point. Let me finish this with chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love, because we want to glorify God, should be the central tenet in all that we do. We want to glorify God, and we want to love Him and show our love for Him to others. But if I am an evangelist and I can preach the gospel in the very best manner, but I have not love, I haven't exactly evangelized. If I minister to the needs of others and provide all their physical wants and desires, but I have not love, I've accomplished nothing. If I minister before abortion clinics day and night and call on people to spare their children, but I have not love, I've accomplished nothing. We often will say, well, it's love that drives me out to preach. It's love that causes me to serve in Sunday school. It's love that makes me minister in abortion clinics. It's love that makes me provide for the needs of others. And there may be some love in that, but if there is not love for your fellow Christian who does not minister in the manner that you do, then you are not doing what God has commanded of you. And you have made your ministry an idol, because it is the accomplishment of the ministry that becomes so vitally important to you. And I know there are some folks that are probably, whose toes are probably pretty stepped on right now. And I'm sorry, I have no desire to step on toes or kick people in the shins. Not at all what we want to accomplish tonight. And I, as I have said, and Rich has said over and again, this is not about those who are in clear rebellion against the commands of God. We are talking about people within the church equipped and gifted with certain qualities that God is choosing to use for His purposes. And maybe the person who shows up every week and cleans the toilets in the bathroom is more faithful because they're not looking for more acknowledgement. They're not looking for more servants. They're just simply showing up and cleaning those toilets every week. He has more faith, more service, and more love than you do because he's not berating people for not cleaning toilets. He's just showing up and doing it. And maybe the best thing that we can do is be grateful to God for the gifts that he's given us, the ability to go out and serve and be involved in the manner that he has called us to do, and is our being obedient to the commands in the manner that he has called us. And we work together as a body, just from like you, from your toes to the tip of your hair, all works together to serve God. And as a result, his ministries are being accomplished. If you do that, you are a faithful servant. Praise God. Please, please, let's not get in the trap of expecting others to minister in the same capacity as we do. Can we exhort? Can we inform? Can we educate? Can we edify? You're darn right we can. Absolutely. And there's nothing wrong with being passionate about the ministry God has put you in. Man, oh man, I have met some passionate evangelists in my day, and I am grateful for them. I am grateful for them. There's a brother who heads up the evangelism team in my church and is probably the most faithful man I know to show up every single time and be handing out gospel tracts and talking, doing one-on-ones, and is constantly, Gary Carter, I love you, brother. You are an amazing man. Shows up constantly trying to put on classes so people get involved in evangelism, trying to get the information put out there, constantly bringing stuff to our pastor's attention about things that can be done, and just faithful. And that man is not berating people. I am grateful for people like my friend Gary Carter. Brother, thank you for your faithful service. And if you're an evangelist, if you're an abortion ministry, if you're involved in abortion ministry, if you're involved in Sunday school, if you're involved in helps, if you're involved in prayer ministry, you're involved in any of those things, do not be in the trap of berating others who do not serve in the manner you do, but be faithful and help and teach and get involved and serve and pray for laborers and pray that God would equip other people and praise them or praise what God is doing in them. Let me rephrase that. Praise what God is doing in them when you see them even do just a sliver of what you do. Encourage that because God, Christ himself says, he's not going to put out a smoldering flax, right? He's not going to break a bruised reed. Do the same. Be gentle. Be loving. Be encouraging. Push that passion. Get people involved. Please. Yes, please, God, do it. But don't berate and belittle and slam on people who are not involved in the manner you are. If you're doing that, the man who scrubs toilets is more faithful than you. And he serves God with a greater heart than you do. I do not fall into that trap. We do it. It's easy. I get it. And yes, we will talk another time about the exhortation of the church that is not doing things when they could be. We get that. I understand that. And people don't know it, but I'm sitting here talking with my hands, and I just made my Fitbit shoot off and tell me I did 10,000 steps. Forgive my passion. I'm over here going crazy. But please, 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 please don't fall into that trap. We all are gifted a little bit differently. We have the same commands, yes, but we're all working together. Now, there's something about the human body you got to remember. There is a time when the human body can start serving itself. When a part of the body starts drawing stuff away from the rest of the body. You know what that's called? It's called cancer. And I know of where I speak. I watch my wife go through it. When a part of the body serves itself only, it's destructive. I believe that's what Paul's getting at. We all have our functions. Let's function as a church. Let's function with the capacities God has given us and grow and strengthen. Don't be satisfied to be a pew warmer, folks. Serve. Find a place. Serve. Find your gifts. Pray about it. Serve. Minister. Preach the gospel. Point people to Christ. Help people in need. Do it all for the glory of God. Rich, anything else?
I'll just kind of sum up real quick. Don't be a cancer to your church. Don't be a cancer to the body of Christ. But in all that you do, give glory to God and share the gospel, because that person that you share the gospel with tomorrow, they could be dead the next day, and that could be their last chance of ever actually hearing the gospel. So whatever you do this week, you do all to the glory of God, my friend.
Amen. Amen. All right, folks, we went a little bit of an extended edition tonight, an hour and 20 minutes, and that's because 15 minutes of it earlier on we were chatting away, which we are so grateful that you guys listened to us. Hopefully you've listened all the way through. We do ask you, as always, if this has been a blessing to you, please share it with someone you know. Be willing to engage us. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook. You can find our main webpage is slavetothking.wordpress.com. Should be able to find us, our links to our social media there. You can email us at voiceofreasonradio@gmail.com. If anything we said tonight has resonated with you, or maybe it got you mad, we'd love to hear from you. Certainly hope we didn't make anybody angry. Hope we ministered to you, but we certainly would love to hear from you. We look forward to meeting with you guys tomorrow night. Remember, tomorrow night, Tuesday, September 6th, G220 Radio on Block Talk Radio. Check that out. We will be on there. We will try to, again, record later this week, either Friday or Saturday. I don't remember my schedule off the top of my head. Rich, please bear with me. I'll figure it out, and we'll figure it out for this week as well. We will get another show out. We strive to do this as much as we can. We are doing this as two brothers in Christ who simply desire to serve the Lord. And we're not asking anything from you, just your prayers and a little bit of your time each week. So thank you for that, and we look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow over at G220 Radio. God bless you guys. Good night.